My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
He shocks me every time. He gets airborne. It looks good, it feels good, and he gets up. So I'm happy that Josh is 17, and 17 is Josh. And he continues to show the world to stop playing with his name.
It's a keeper by Allen, looking for the pylon, leaps for the goal line, and he's in! Touchdown, Buffalo! Allen with a 7-yard touchdown run!
It's Mike Shope.
Williams blitzes, pumps, ball's out! And it's recovered by Buffalo. Dorian Williams on the football. It's Buffalo ball.
And the Bulldog.
1-0 is what we're trying to do each week. And, you know, we got a short week going to a division rival in Miami. Got to have a quick turnaround, watch the film on this one, and find a way to turn the page tomorrow and start getting ready for them.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hi, everybody. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, Sean McDermott, as Zach mentioned in the update, scheduled to meet with the media at 3:15, so just about 12 minutes, and we will try to carry that. Who knows when it will actually start, but we'll be ready either way. It is Football Monday on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Eric Wood at 4 today, and maybe Sal later. Might depend on what news we get.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like when we know, someone from the Bills or Sabres is going to have a news conference, a meeting with the media, and we're going to carry it, and it's in the middle of a segment like this, the middle of the first segment of the day, like it's sort of looming, and I feel like even more so right now because of whatever we're going to find out about injuries. I mean, I'm not. By saying that, trying to alarm anyone, I'm waiting to find out that Josh Allen's okay, really, and Taron Johnson too. And so, like, I don't want to sound too happy about the win or anything, because I just feel like we're gonna get news of some kind, I would think, on both of those dudes, and they play a game in 4 days.
That's what I keep thinking about, is just you're first up here for the short turnaround, and you're the team that's traveling. We've known this since the schedule came out in May or whatever. But, you know, yeah, like, get your breath this week, because Thursday night's going to be big. The Bills got away with yesterday. They got the win against Arizona. It wasn't perfect. We've spent more than half the year, you know, literally, 7 months, looking ahead to basically yesterday and what it would look like, what this team would be like, how they would play. I think we got most of it right. I mean, it wasn't that we were always very specific on what where the ball would go, you know, how they would play. So I'm not looking for credit, but I mean, I thought this is one game, but I thought because of everything that happened, how last year went, the roster, that they would be more of a conservative, run-oriented team. And I would say that they definitely were in this first game, but also point out that almost everybody was yesterday. Like, yeah. I saw stuff that I almost couldn't believe about run to pass around the NFL yesterday. Rich Rebar had a stat that for average passing yards, lowest for a week one since at least 2000. Wow. And rushing yards highest.
Right.
And I think, you know, we had it in this game, not to get into league trends so early, but just trying to figure out sort of context for the Bills. Quarterbacks have a lot to do with that, you know, and of course Allen is not only no exception, but maybe sort of the prime example of the value of a quarterback who can run. I thought Arizona lost the game because they didn't do more of that. You know, like on that last couple of drives, they're handing off inside, just giving up opportunities to get Murray out. And I think the Bills were very lucky that that happened. But it's always been this way with Allen. The more he runs, the more, you know, you notice the value. Last year, we were all talking like they'd want to do less of that. The Bills were talking like that, and that's what happened. And then they were 6-6, and they flipped it. And now this year starts, I mean, no digs and just the changes to the team. It made more sense to think they're not taking more off his plate. They're putting more on his plate. And, I mean, this game was exactly that.
Yeah. It felt a little bit like we talked about, you know, what Baltimore's offense looked like on opening night against Kansas City. I mean, they lost their game, but it was really like Lamar had to do, it seemed like, just about everything. And, you know, the Bills ran it effectively enough with Cook, so it wasn't like they were stuck the way maybe Baltimore was. But once the game got to around 2 minutes to go in the first half, it just felt like a switch got flipped and Allen just, with his legs and with his arm, just changed course. And I do think it's notable. I saw this from Sneaky Joe last night, that it, from that point until their final possession, which really, you know, they ran it and kicked a field goal and left themselves susceptible to a last second Arizona winning drive, they threw it a lot. Like, I think 67% of the plays in between, like, the last possession of the first half and the last possession of the game, they threw it 67% of the time, which is not what they looked like for most of the first half. And they also scored all their points in that pocket of the game. So it's informative, maybe to tell them that they need to make sure they're not swinging too hard in one direction with the run idea. But the league-wide trend, you know, 1 week in, I think it took me, you said we've been talking about it for 7 months. I think it took me 6 months and 29 days, if that 7 month time frame is accurate, to arrive at maybe the league is going to do a lot of two tight ends, and maybe the league is going to run a lot because of the two high shells and how much explosive plays have become hard to manufacture with the way defenses reacted to, like, the arrival, really, of Mahomes and Allen and everybody else. There was a swing back that's been happening over the last few years, and maybe now we're going to see more of a definitive reaction by offenses to that. We'll see. It's 1 week. But, yeah, the Bills do not stand out at all on a day where they ran it as much as they did, because most of the league really was on the same train.
Well, for a few years, ever since Allen, you know, got good, it's always been basically mostly true that he has the potential to take them all the way, but it's really so much about him. Like, you're not going to win a Super Bowl if he isn't great for you, almost definitely. And, you know, they've been pretty close. And this year, by the changes, that just seemed as true as ever. Like, most expectations about them were a little lower this year going into the season than they have been, objectively. But, you know, it's all the things that have happened, a lot of which have seemed like negatives with the players who have left. is, you know, cap constrictions and everything like that. It's kind of always been true. It has to come down to Josh Allen. It's still possible. Maybe it's a little tougher, but, you know, you've still got him, so you can still do it. And I think this game is a perfect encapsulation of that, which is, okay, yeah, this is going to be possible, but it's going to be hard. Like, the defense is not as good, at least through one game. Arizona did not exactly rack up yards, but I think, again, some of that was on them, just missing Harrison and, you know, not just being smarter in the fourth quarter when they had the wind especially. But that, you know, that counts. That's you know, you win.
Yeah, I think the Bills gave up 80 yards maybe in the second half of this game, which, you know, considering how the first half looked and how I would bet a lot of fans were feeling going into halftime, I mean, maybe the touchdown before the end of the first half buffered that somewhat. It should have. You know, you're going to get the ball and maybe you can tie it right away. And they did, ultimately. But, yeah, I mean, I thought this game was heading towards, you know, 42-35 with the way if the Bills were going to make a game of it. Because of the way Arizona had moved the ball in the first half. But they were pretty stymied. And yeah, they cooperated. But the Bills also changed what they were doing, and Arizona maybe really didn't. The Bills started sending pressure up the middle. They sent maybe more blitzes than they would be comfortable admitting to before the game started. But they made Murray uncomfortable by sort of pushing the middle of the pocket and keeping him in there. And they found their way to really stymie that offense in the second half of the game. So, you know, I think I'm already, you know, this one of the functions of the short week with the Bills playing Miami on Thursday, like I'm already thinking about the secondary and the safeties, especially with Miami, with Hill and Waddle and all the speed, Achan. It's a very different thing. They won't have to deal with a mobile guy because Tua is not someone who's going to hurt you getting up and getting out of there, but it's all precision and quick. And I think that it's a different test, but certainly, I think, a sterner one. And I'm really curious to see how that goes. And see, I feel uncomfortable because I'm rushing to Thursday and making a point about Thursday's game while we're, you know, 10 minutes into a show following the opener.
No harm anyway, in doing that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a really fun game to think about. And for the Dolphins, even more so than the Bills, escaped yesterday. I mean, they were down pretty late. 17-7, end of the third quarter, Jacksonville's going in, and Travis Etienne fumbles into the end zone. So an apparent Jacksonville touchdown for 24-7 ends up Miami ball. They throw an 80-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, like maybe the next play. And so they get there. But the Bills and the Dolphins, it's just even more than ever in recent years, it's become like this is the game the Dolphins have to have, even though if it is week two. At home against the team that always beats them. Last year, they had the division seemingly wrapped up and choked it, losing to the Bills the final week, and then they go to Kansas City and freeze and lose, like over just like that. So I would think this is the game of their season. You know, as the schedule comes out, beating the Bills has got to feel like it's just, you know, mandatory for them to think seriously about first place. The Jets are an interesting too. And, of course, New England, 1-0.
Let's not leave them out.
Can't leave them out. So, you know, the Bills, by winning, it's not like this game's a luxury or anything like that ever, but they have just owned this team. And we'll see if Miami this time can break that, or maybe they can't. Can't wait to find out. But now I'm also getting ahead of things.
Right. See what I did?
We'll look for your calls as we go. We might have Sean McDermott here any minute. It was supposed to be 3:15, his media press conference today, updates on injuries and thoughts about Thursday. Of course, short week. Normally the Bills have Tuesday off if they're playing on the following Sunday, but not this week. They'll travel on Wednesday. So today, tomorrow, there will be practices and news and all of that. Eric Wood coming up at 4-803-0550 is our number one subject. If there's time here to get into it, might as well. I mean, we're going to talk about something here until McDermott is ready. That came up a lot on the postgame show was the Bills' final possession. And I'm looking forward to this conversation. I know I said yesterday, so what happened? The Bills are up by three with three and a half minutes to go. And it's a few running plays, eventually a field goal to put them up six. the so-called field goal of death. They win anyway. And, you know, a few fans, maybe a lot of fans, were complaining that they, to put it one way, won't let Allen throw in that spot. And I said to the caller, to one caller yesterday, like, this is the one complaint about McDermott that most people, like, it's the most common complaint about him. End of game, game situations, end of half even, you know, not being, quote, aggressive enough. And I think, you know, we have that. Again, even though they won, a lot of these games that, where we've been arguing about this, they've won too. So here we had that yesterday. Arizona again ends up turning it over on downs and the Bills take it. But kind of a little bit of a reminder of what it is. I mean, I think there are a lot of fans who don't get McDermott criticism. Like, what's the problem here? We had the drought and they win almost every week. But this is the one area that I think worries people the most about him. And they won, so scoreboard. But this game, week one, here we are again, sort of talking about whether this is an area of concern.
I said last night at one point on the postgame show, talking about this, like, I know the whole speech. Like, I've been here, and I mostly agree with it. Like, the field goal of death, I get why you don't want to end up there. But the way I said it yesterday was, if they hadn't kicked that field goal and made it, maybe while we were talking about the field goal of death, we could still be watching a game, because overtime could have been very realistic there with only a field goal needed to tie you. So, you know, I respect them getting the points. What I didn't like was, like maybe a lot of people, not so much not going on fourth and three there, because again, I think, you know, you could have been worried about getting tied up there. The wind is at Arizona's back there, so maybe even a longer field goal if you need it is more possible than if they were going the other direction. I don't know how much, if at all, that played into the thinking, but the plays on second and three, third and two are the plays to me that and that's where you get into, like, let your guy make a play, Allen, right? Get another first down. Well, let's either just keep the ball or get a touchdown and just ice this game. And there are things you can do in that situation that don't have to end up in an incomplete pass. I mean, you've got one of the best mobile quarterbacks in the sport playing for your team. So any kind of safe, like a run look and a safe sort of rollout type thing where if it's not there, like plainly pitch and catch, easy peasy first down, Allen can just go down inbounds, you know, try to get what he can on the rollout and just stay inbounds, keep the clock running. So you're not running the risk of a typical, you know, slant pattern to try to pick up an easy 5 or 6 yards or whatever it is. But instead it's a handoff, and then the Allen play, the third and two call, didn't even hardly look like a play, really. It just looked like, let's just get in position to kick a field goal.
Yeah. It was at the end of the game or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they were kicking to win it. And that I'm not a fan of that. You know, again, I'm okay. You want to get the 6-point lead there, kick the field goal. Maybe even Bass's struggles through the summer play into that. Like, here's a pressure situation into the wind. He's had a good day. That all works to an extent to me, but I still would prefer you try to get the first down a little more. Well, actually, a lot more aggressively than they did.
He was injured.
Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they still, you know, did what you said, ran him.
Right, yeah.
On third.
So if he was going to run on third down, I don't know why that the injury would have stopped you from rolling him out.
Yeah.
And trying, you know, again, just an easy sort of pitch and catch thing with a tight end or whatever. But they didn't. And so I felt like the bigger problem I had there was, the turtling to sort of play for the field goal. I don't think that was called for at all. It worked. They got they got by, but I would have rather picked up the first down and kept the ball a little longer.
Maybe, probably, the biggest discussion point of the offseason was receiver and who would catch the ball for the Bills. The season arrived, and for all the hundreds of hours spent in this room and elsewhere trying to figure out those answers, my answer was, that's not even an answer, it was, I don't know. I think there are 4 or 5 guys who could end up the leaders. Through one game, is it any clearer at all?
No.
Kincaid, one target. They scored 34 points.
He had two targets, one catch.
Two targets, one catch. He was on the field
a lot
more than any other skill position player. I mean, Allen and then the lineman and then Kincaid was on the field offensively more than anyone else, which also maybe somewhat ironically, Marvin Harrison was this for Arizona. Man, what a tough debut for Harrison. Like, most important thing, most exciting thing about my team, Arizona, if it is my team, is him and what it means in an offense where everybody's sort of excited about Murray, new lease on life, you know, healthy and everything like this. And not only do you get 1 for 4 in a drop, but then you have this clip of Harrison, you know, running alone at the end of the game. Not quite. It wouldn't have been game over, but you had Murray had tons of time on that play too and just somehow never thought of Harrison. They didn't throw the ball, you know, down the field at all yesterday. And you can
until they had to. Really, at the end, they did the desperation heave to Dortch. I mean, it wasn't a Hail Mary. It was, you know, a normal pass type play, but still.
That didn't work,
right. And, and I don't know what, you know, I saw a Dan Orlovsky breakdown of this Harrison open, and he's trying to, like, look at it from Murray's perspective, like, what has he got? You know, when he's looking right, it looks like there's coverage there. Then the pressure sort of flushes him away, and he's looking on the other side of the field while Harrison is as open as he is. And I think maybe the way I understood what Orlovsky said, take this for what it's worth, by the time he looks back at Harrison, he sees two Bills defenders who've realized Harrison is there, and they're running, like, just sprinting towards Harrison. So by that point, he might be like, that's not open. So he missed the window where that was, because there was, you know, a second or two where Harrison was just, I mean, 10, 15, 20 yards open.
From my experience with you, this reminds me of Stevie Johnson, or not Stevie Johnson, Sammy Watkins, where, like, okay, here is my team making a big effort to help my quarterback. I mean, I'm getting an elite prospect here. To varying degrees, Watkins was this, like Harrison. Harrison was probably a better prospect, but still, were they not both fourth overall picks? So the one thing I want from my team is to act like they know what the investment is here. And that's all fine what you're saying was said about that play. My whole game plan should have been, who's Greg Dortch? I mean, my whole game plan should have been, this is it. It's the fourth quarter. I'm down 6. The Bills were nice to me.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh,
I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
They kick the field goal to allow for me to win it on a touchdown. I'm throwing the ball to him. Like, that's just, to me, egregious that on that drive, there was nothing sort of designed for Marvin Harrison Jr. Maybe it doesn't work. What they did didn't work either. So that would be where I'd be on the air in Arizona today. Is like, why did we do this?
Yeah.
You know, I had a chance to win.
Even that last play is a throw into what turned out to be, I mean, Hamlin was pretty late getting over there, filed that away for this week on Thursday. But it ended up being Dortch in double coverage, like Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, he doesn't come with contested catches at the top of his resume because he's so fully formed about everything else. But certainly with his body type, you should feel better about throwing a ball up to him in coverage than Dortch, who's like 5'9". It was an odd series, I would say.
We were told Sean McDermott's press conference would be at 3:15. It is yet to start. We'll take a break here and hopefully have it for you. I mean, if it's happening, we will. Here coming up in a few minutes. Eric Wood at 4. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Bills coach Sean McDermott. His press conference is underway. He has already stated that Josh Allen is cleared to practice, but Taron Johnson will miss the Miami game.
With Taron, I don't know his timeline on when he'll be back. So we're still doing some further research on that. But as far as other questions go related to injuries, I'm not going to go any further than I've already gone. So,
hey, Sean, on Josh, will there be any limitations on him taking snaps
under center? Yeah, I don't think so. He was able to do it, and so we'll just see how it goes today more than anything. So,
with Taron not playing Thursday, just what did you see from Cam Lewis and yesterday?
Yeah, I thought Cam really did a great job. Another guy that stepped in to a role that he was not in to begin with and in the starting role there. And Jamarcus, as I mentioned after the game, I thought did a great job. Cam Lewis did a great job. And there's several others that did the same thing. So I'm really impressed with how hard the guys prepared during the week and then they stepped in when they were called.
I know the schedule's a schedule, but what are the challenges in having a short week in their week two with a team that still looks like it's gelling, and now with all these injuries coming out, with new pieces out of the
back? Yeah, it's just another challenge. You know, our guys we're kind of used to that, and our guys, it's important that the best thing we can do is control what we can control right now, and that's who's playing where and in what spots, and then getting ourselves as ready to go as we can for a divisional matchup in Miami and against a really good football team.
How important were the halftime? The halftime adjustments that you made, how encouraging was it that you were able to get the answers? You probably want to get the answers in the second quarter, but to get to the answers on defense to affect the game that much in the second half?
Yeah, like I said, part of a new team is also part of a new staff in some ways, and you want to be able to say, hey, we've been able to answer some of the questions or grow through some moments that come up like that. And to be able to make adjustments in our first game, I think was big for us as a staff, and for those adjustments to work, and then also for the team as a whole to be in a close game, which most games in the NFL are. And then, you know, obviously we fell behind early, but to keep our poise and to just really trust that, hey, we'll find our way back, and the players did a phenomenal job of doing that.
Trying to go up, 31-20, I think it was, after that touchdown, and feeling maybe pretty good there, and then that kick return happens. I know you said you wanted to watch it on film to identify it a little bit more, but that kind of error on special teams really opened it up to being a game again. Yeah. What went wrong, and how troubling?
Well, you know, I thought that there was too much return yardage to begin with before the returner was met with any type of confrontation, let's call it, right, for lack of a better word. And then we had three or four guys right there to make the play, and we didn't make the play. And so we got to do a better job. I got to do a better job putting them in position, and then when they're there, we got to make the play. So, we looked hard at that this morning, and it's an area of concern, and it's an area that we have to make sure that we shore up between now and the game here coming Thursday. So, there's four plays right now, four plays on special teams that are big time factors: punt return, and now kickoff and kickoff return. So that was a pivotal moment in the game for us.
You know, the first three quarters were probably pretty clean in that regard, but then the kick return happens. Goes out of bounds at the end, which gives them really good field position.
Yeah.
Does that just kind of underscore that, that phase of the game has got to be clean for you guys going forward?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the research is, Jay, on around the league from week one yet. We're still kind of gathering that, and I'm trying to sort through right now the other important information I'm dealing with. But, we're going to make sure that we're, researching that and seeing what the trends are. And I mean, it's a new play, right? And so right away in week one, it wasn't this way necessarily in the preseason, I would say, but we're seeing in week one that, hey, this is real, and in a pivotal moment of the game, that game changed fast, right? And so we can't let that happen, number one, and we've got to have more urgency there.
Sean, what did you think about the way your linebackers and secondary worked together?
Yeah, I mean, in the first half, I didn't feel like we played very well. I didn't feel like we coached very well. And that starts with me. I felt like we were doing a lot of reacting and waiting for them to do things instead of us being the aggressors, right? And so at halftime, again, the coaches did a great job, and the players came out and played aggressive. And I think that was shown. I think the first defensive series was 3-and-out. And finished with a sack, I believe, on third down. So the crowd got into the game, and we got into a rhythm there, which was important. You know, we got to do that earlier in the game, let's say. So I just felt like we were on our heels too much.
Along that same line, what was your evaluation of Jordan Williams' performance?
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. Really, I know he started a little bit last year, I believe, but really hasn't had a ton of playing time other than preseason this year. So I thought Dorian was really growing through the course of the game and getting more and more comfortable as the game went on, in particular on first and second down. And then he was on the field in the last drive of the game where we won the game.
Hey, Sean, tough slate for Torrance this year with penalties. How do you think he'll respond to that?
Recibo? Yeah. Now, we had multiple penalties that I thought hurt us, really. You can't beat yourself. It's hard enough to win in this league. And then when you're beating yourself with especially pre-snap penalties, those are non-negotiables. You can't do that and expect to win.
John, Curtis Samuels snapped short a little lower than maybe what we expected. Was that any residual from his toe injury earlier in the
year,
or is that just
Yeah, just overall how the game was flowing. So, good to get guys involved, multiple guys involved. So I thought Curtis did a good job.
How did you feel about some of the rush contain issues against the Cardinals? How important is it to clean it up against the Dolphins team that likes to
Yeah, I mean, that's important. That's what I mentioned earlier about not playing well enough in the first half on defense. Again, glad we made those adjustments. And the players look like they got into a rhythm in the second half. And some of that comes from just, you know, kind of waiting, like I said, waiting for Kyler maybe to try and get out of the pocket instead of going to get him in an aggressive fashion. And so, you know, look, it's first game, so there's a lot of unknowns, and you haven't been back in the saddle for some of those guys in a while. So I'm glad we played ourselves through it and coached ourselves through it. But we got to be better overall in terms of affecting the quarterback, and also making sure we keep contained.
Coach, during a short week like this, what's the balance between making sure your team gets the rest it needs and then also preparing for a team like Miami, who's known for being very fast?
Yeah. Yeah, no, they got probably the best team speed in the league and in all three phases, quite frankly. So it'll be a big challenge for us going down there. And you know, they're a really good team, a lot of talent, well coached, good special teams as well. And you know, we know what we're going into down there, and on a short week in particular, we got to make sure we get our rest here and make sure we're ready to go.
Sean Britt, Russo was at almost 80% snaps. That's rarely seen for you. With how much you like to rotate up front, is that a reflection of maybe how he was playing in the game?
Yeah, a little bit. Just managing that too, and you know, I'm just trying to be smart with how much he is playing. And I mean, it's a long season too, right? So, but Greg's young, and he was rolling there. So, I thought coaches did a good job of letting him roll.
Coach, Brandon Coppington was supposed to be his first return in the game. What are your thoughts on the kind of weapon that he can be and that he is for his team?
Well, right now it's one game and a couple returns, so I'm just real proud of him and the way he handled our environment, number one, and the weather. I think some people don't realize how hard it is to catch, you know, a punt or a kickoff with the wind blowing the way it was blowing yesterday. So he put in the work leading up to the game, and it showed. I mean, to have that type of play in your first snap in the NFL is pretty impressive. And you know, he's just a guy that puts in a lot of work, like I said, and believes in the process. And I'm sure, like all of us, he's trying to just make the adjustments going into week two. Good. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bills coach Sean McDermott live at the stadium. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Josh Allen cleared for practice, but no Taron Johnson this week for the Thursday night week two matchup with Miami. Everything else?
Fine.
Pretty much what you'd expect.
Yeah. So, yeah, obviously great news on Allen and tough news on Johnson. And now, I don't know how ominous to take how he sounded about that. Like, no timeline yet. It sounds to me like that means they're trying to figure out just how severe it is, and they maybe don't know yet. I mean, it's possible they know, and he's just not wanting to say. But that's a big – I mean, this week with that passing game and with that speed, you'd like to have everyone, of course. I thought Cam Lewis did a really nice job as that game went on, but Johnson is one of their most valuable defenders. So big loss with an opponent that is really proficient at finding space and mismatches and exploiting you. So I think that they've got their work cut out for them without him. Like, Johnson is the one guy that I feel like never leaves the field for them.
It is not good. Miami is so concentrated. It's a test on your outside corners with Hill and Waddle. What they did, I don't know everything about this yet, but I know some of what Miami did yesterday is use Achane in a receiver role, and they had Mostert, and Achane still had some rushing work, scored a goal line touchdown. But Jonnu Smith, who I thought was kind of interesting there if they wanted to start to use a tight end this year, basically just was not relevant in their offense. So it's still, and Waddle got hurt again. He went back in. That's what
right.
always happens
got evaluated
with Waddle.
For a concussion, yeah.
But he returned to the game, had a big catch. Yeah, I think the Dolphins are pretty much the Dolphins. Eric Wood coming up at 4. We'll take a break here. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Speaking of Empire Electric, I felt a little jolt of energy today thinking about reverse AFC power rankings tomorrow. Finally, games.
I was thinking about it last night.
Well, I was thinking about it yesterday morning. No, I wasn't. You win.
I was thinking about it while I was golfing on Saturday.
I was thinking about it when I was born.
I was thinking about it when my dad and my mom... All right, I'll stop. This is going to get really ghastly there.
I was thinking about it during the Crusades. I'm just, you know, games, right?
Right.
Like, we need this one tonight, too.
Yeah, but, we do. Yeah, we do.
You know, what's up, Ohio, here for reverse AFC power rankings tomorrow? Yikes. Who had a worse day? I'll say the Browns. Like, which fan feels the most worse from yesterday
to today? The Bengals got off to a bad start last year and got it together, and then Burrow got hurt and it was over. And, like, I don't know. Like, maybe New England's defense is really good, and the Bengals will get things ironed out with Higgins and or Chase, and everything will be fine. You can at least tell yourself that. The Browns...
what are they going to do?
I don't know. Bench someone who is making all that guaranteed money? I think that is probably already called for. It's week one. Objectively, like, not just hating on him because he's an awful human being, he looks completely shot. I mean, balls are sailing with time. I mean, yes, a lot of pressure. I mean, Dallas on the road, go figure, like, showed up and showed up big.
But not always, though.
No.
We're there.
And he had, when he had time, he's sailing balls almost into the stands. I mean, look out hospitality tents. It's the thing about an arm when it goes, I think, for a player who's been at the level that Deshaun Watson has been at, is that it doesn't mean he can't sometimes do it. Right? You there's going to be good throws in there still. But with regularity, with like that you can depend on, forget. I think it's over.
I think the worst part are the plays where he did have time to stand in. I mean, every team wants to see their guy be willing to, you know, last in the pocket. And rookies come out, and that's one thing that we really scrutinize, is are they willing to stand in the pocket? C.J. Stroud was interesting because he hardly ever had any pressure. And then sometimes he would bail, like, oh, I don't know if that's great. I mean, they had a perfect offense, so I'm not sure that's a great sign. Of course, Stroud has been awesome here in the NFL. But Barnwell had it. Like, there were Watson plays where he did have time, and there was a 3rd-and-11 where he did not have to leave the pocket, but he just sort of gave up and checked it down for a 5-yard gain or something like that. It reminds me of Edwards, you know, where he had... Edwards was not, I mean, Deshaun Watson, but he was very promising and he was having success. Then he got hit, and the more you saw him, the less likely he was willing to stand and deliver. Mm-hmm. And Watson, I think right now, I think those balls that you're talking about probably are a function or a symptom of this, where he just does not want to get hit, he did get hit a lot in that game, but does not trust himself to execute.
And his mechanics are all messed up. Like, there's been a ton of analysis of this player just from yesterday's game alone. There's like a 6-step drop that should have been a 7-step drop, and the hips and the time, everything. He's a mess. And I think it's all of it. It's getting hit. It's his shoulder. Even if he trusted everything else, whether he can actually throw the ball on time with velocity and accuracy regularly, I think is severely in question. And then you get to, like, is he skittish on top of it with pressure? I mean, that is not a recipe for playing NFL quarterback. It's not a recipe for playing at Buff State. I mean, you're not going to be able to function. So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, man, but, like, that is guaranteed to the nails for 2 more years after this.
I think the move would be to bench him. As long as you had ownership's, you know, approval, or if ownership were not in your way, they're paying him. There's no cutting him, really. Like, they're paying him anyway. So you have Jameis Winston, and this is a team with a lot of good players. The coach has won the Coach of the Year twice. I'm not sure Winston is perfect either. They went and signed him, and he did not cost them hundreds of millions guaranteed. But it's always been questioned, like, Watson as a scheme fit for Stefanski, how Watson goes off script, you know, and not a sort of first read, second read, third read guy. I don't know what Winston is exactly at this point, but he's somebody. I mean, Flacco had success.
Right.
He's somebody that's done well enough where I think, I don't know, I think maybe 4 out of 5 Browns people would endorse this.
Yeah, maybe. I agree. Like Winston is not to me like some great eraser and fixer, but he can throw the ball. He can make the throws, I think. So he's going to hurt you with mistakes probably, but right now, even without mistakes, Watson's just not going to get you anywhere. The way that looked yesterday anyway, and I don't know, that it's not like that's a one-off. That has been what he has looked like, and it's gotten worse, I think, because with the injuries, right, with the shoulder problems that have come since he got to Cleveland, they look really like they're in trouble there. So, yeah, it's 100, it's like $192 million right now, and like next year it's whatever. It's egregious, and there's just no getting out from under it. And I wouldn't blame Browns fans if they're like walking around thinking like, is there some off the field disaster that could befall him that could save us, because they have no alternative right now other than just eat that money, because the guy can't play.
Cincinnati, from what I've seen, doesn't seem like Joe Burrow was under assault in this game yesterday, especially on some key plays. They also punted late on a 4th and 5 near midfield, down whatever they were, 6 or 7 points. Kind of weird, but Chase played. He was on the field all day. You know, he didn't get the ball all the time, but wasn't exactly limited in snap count. Higgins sat out. Who knows where it's going with these two guys. Cincinnati, you know, you keep telling yourself this, how other years they've started badly and maybe you will be fine, but New England?
Yeah.
At home? I don't know. It's not like we don't know if Burrow's good, but that's a terrible day for him.
Yes, it is.
Well, we will see tomorrow. Don't miss it. 3:00, reverse AFC power rankings. Next, Ohio's own Eric Wood joining us on the Wester Hotline to talk Bills Cardinals and week one around the NFL, of course. Week two comes early for the Bills and the Dolphins Thursday night from Miami. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.